So here's the thing about growing up in a volatile home, at least for me. I always had this feeling of unsafety, of being on shaky ground. When you grow up in a home where you don't know what's coming, you don't know if you're going to be woken up in the middle of the night from rumblings around the house, loud voices, yelling, disruptive sleep. It gives you, or I should say it gave me, as I said, just a feeling of unsafety, insecurity. Insecurity in my being. Never quite, because when you grow up like that, when we grow up in traumatic places, we learn to hide. We learn to mask. We learn to pretend things are okay when they're not. To put on happy faces at functions. And let's face it, at least in the 70s and the 80s, which is when I grew up, nobody was really asking how you were as a kid. Nobody was really asking about our mental health or how we felt in our bodies, or how things were at home. People were pretty much, adults, I should say, were very superficial. You know, how are you doing in school? What do you want to be when you grow up? You might get, how was summer camp? If you're a kid that went to camp, right? But it was never, at least for me, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that had like deep conversations with adults, but not me. You know, again, it was just very superficial, right? It was very children stay in children's place, children stay out of adults' business. At my grandparents' houses, it was pretty much, you know, children speak when they're spoken to, that type of thing. My mother wasn't really like that. My father wasn't really like that, which is probably why I have a sense of freedom to speak my mind. Even though, again, there was a lot of, my cat just jumped on the bed and jumped off the bed. That's what that sound was, because it's early morning. So, full disclosure, these bonus episodes that I'm doing, these really are early morning recordings. These are, I woke up, I did a little meditation, I did a little prayer, something's put on my heart, I roll over, I put it on a voice note. That's what you're hearing. No, there's no script here. This just, we're just rocking and rolling. As I unravel these memories, and maybe this is a part of midlife. Maybe this is a part of making sense and connecting the dots as a person who no longer has parents on this plane in the physical form. I no longer have parents to look at in the physical form and touch in the physical form and lean into in the physical form. And it could be said that I didn't have them in the physical form to lean into emotionally most of the time, I would say. There were moments, but most of the time, because again, I'd love to hear from other Gen Xers if this was your experience, but yeah, boomers, right? I talked about it in my last bonus episode. Things were done. You know, wasn't a lot of sit-down conversation type situations. And I've talked about it earlier in this too. So there's just a general shakiness that I went into the world with, especially growing up where I did. And these are things I've talked about before. So I just want to be careful not to be like redundant and repeat stories, right? But I guess for new people who haven't read my book, you know, growing up when I did, at the time that I did, I certainly had lots of examples of quote unquote success for Black folks, but I definitely didn't have it where I grew up. I definitely didn't have any Black teachers or Black doctors or anything like that. And that too comes with its own grief and complication, because I am left wondering, how would I have been different if I had grown up? You know, if my father hadn't moved us to the suburbs and put us in such a foreign environment, how would I have felt about my body? You know, my body image. How would I have felt about that? I don't know. How would I have felt if I had educators that encouraged instead of discouraged, that felt familiar instead of making sure I felt like a dumb outsider? I mean, I just have to thank God and my family and my ancestors and that were clearly guiding me all along the way, because it could have been real bad. I could have ended up real bad. Real bad. But somehow, you know, here's the thing about my ancestors. They always swooped in at the right time. And they would always drop the right people in my life at the right time. So when I think about that insecure girl that the black kids from the city would call Oreo. When I think about how they wanted nothing to really do with me, through no fault of my own, just because I lived where I lived and I had the experiences that I had. Goddess, God, the ancestors dropped in two black girls into my life. In junior high. And we just like became the three of us, you know. They both moved to the town. And they both had grown up in, you know, like more black environments. And I don't know why they decided to like me. You know, I don't know. But he did. And it kind of changed everything. If I really think about it, and I don't think I really have thought about this in a long time, like in any kind of deep way, but yeah, they introduced me to hip hop. I don't know what they saw. I don't know. I mean, I'm a cool chick, but it wasn't like the other kids were giving me a chance to be a cool chick. And it's not like they had to be my friend because they were very popular with the black kids and the white kids. I mean, I was friendly with the kids from my town, for sure, like the black kids from my town. But again, I wasn't really like brought in because they were juniors and seniors and all of that. And I was younger. But yeah, they just, I don't know. They just, they just swooped in. And then it was the three of us. And then I had a little bit of protection. A little bit. I definitely still got bullied, you know, a couple years later, but not from the black kids anymore. It was like being friends with those two girls took that target off of my back. And again, maybe it's because they were cool. And I haven't thought about that in a long time. But shout out to them. Shout out to those girls. And maybe that was my first introduction to black sisterhood and the protection that we give each other and the covering that we give each other. And it's been like that ever since. It's like once that happened, I was never the same. Wow. Thank you. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Make no mistake, I'm still a nerdy girl. But I'm not the nerdy girl that I was. And thanks for a little bit of safety, feeling a little bit safer. Yeah, I think that's it. All right. So back to our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening. I'm Zoe Flowers. Bye.